If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are going to talk about maybe this is the best time for you to increase your financial knowledge because you've got a lot more time on your hands, or even if you're working from home, you are gaining time because you're not commuting to work. Joining me today is Brian Ursu. He is the author of Now What? A Practical Guide to Figuring Out Your Financial Future. So welcome to the show, Brian.
Oh, thanks, Heather. It's a pleasure to be here.
I agree. There's a lot of downtime right now. Even if people are still working and if they're out of their homes, if you figure, you know, the average commute time is about 25 minutes each direction, that's almost an hour that you gain every single day that you used to be in your car or public transportation, whatever you took. Now you've got this extra time on your hands, and maybe we should use that to answer some questions you may have about your finances.
I couldn't agree more. And in you know, we always want to maximize the opportunities and look for a way to get a foothold when things are disrupted. You can either roll over or you can face into it and try to improve your situation. And I think now is a perfect time to be doing that.
Yeah, for those people who may be out of work or maybe their hours reduced, it's even more important that you figure out where your finances are. That means sitting down, not just figuring out a budget, like how much money do I have coming in now and what are the expenses going out, but also what is it going to look like in the long term? Do I have a savings I can draw from if, no, I don't have enough money to for all my expenses?
Right. And that's, you know, a perfect example or reason why we would really advocate, and we advocate in the book, to have some kind of an emergency fund. I would never have in my wildest dreams, and when I wrote this, you know, I've joked about a zombie apocalypse, but I never in my wildest dreams think that you need an emergency fund for a global pandemic. But yet here we are, and those people that do have an emergency fund are a little bit more comfortable than those that don't. And so it is a important point that I'd like to make.
If you are out of work, you may not be able to put anything aside into your savings. But I would advocate that as soon as you get a job, or you know, your restaurants start opening up again and you're able to go back to servings and getting tips, start putting that money aside right now or some part of it into savings, because with the spikes that we've got going with the coronavirus cases now, especially in the South, a lot of these states opened up before they actually had a real grasp of cutting down cases on coronavirus. And now they're spiking, and there's talk that they're going to shut down all the restaurants again. So if you just got back to work, you may want to start putting money aside so that if it closes down again, you have that savings.
For sure. And it's devastating when you don't have that income and you still have expenses. And albeit now there are provisions by law to make accommodations for you with loans and things like that, but that's not always going to be the case. But I'm always a glass half full person, and I know, and this is the message that I would like to get across to listeners, is this looks bad right now, and it looks scary and ugly, but I can assure you within, I don't know if it's a year or 2 years, this will be behind us, and you will be working again, and you will have income, and you will be able to do the things that you want to do and be able to travel or spend the money that in a way that brings you joy. Let's use this time to really be prepared for when that happens and be as productive as we possibly can. Even if you're not working, what could you be doing?
Yeah.
To develop your skills, to gain financial literacy, whatever it might be, put yourself in position to score once this does go behind us.
And there are so many places you can go online to learn things. Or if you've never done a budget, they'll show you how to do it. Or just pull up a form, allocation form or a budget form, and it'll have every category you can imagine and some you may have never imagined on these sheets that'll help you figure out where is all my money going. I think everybody knows right off the bat they have to put aside for a rent or mortgage and maybe a car payment. But after that, I think some of the smaller things, maybe people forget to set aside some money, maybe for gas in your car, or that once, like, oh, God, I have to buy shoes once every 3 or 4 months because the soles have worn out, or, you know, however long it takes. And so nobody's putting aside, even if it's only 10 bucks a month, when you actually need those shoes 6 months down the road. If you don't put the $10 aside every month and then you need shoes, you're not going to have the 60 bucks that you need to go buy a pair.
There is a budget worksheet on the book's website that you can download for free, and you can fill it out and work with it. And also the first 4 chapters of the book are available for download for free. So if you like those, you'd probably like the rest of the book. But I think the budget is key. And when I talk about budget, I look at the fixed expenses and the variable expenses. So you talked about, you know, taxes and insurance and your car payment or whatever, or maybe even a student loan payment or whatever it might be. Those are the fixed expenses. Nobody derives any joy or pleasure from the fixed expenses.
Right.
Where we experience kind of who it is we are, that's all in the variable expenses. So that's the shoes, that's the latte if that's what you want to do, or it's the data plan for your phone, or going out with friends on a weekend. That's where we derive kind of more meaning from how we use our money in the variable expenses. But you have to look at both of them. And the more you can get your fixed expenses under control, the more meaning you can find from the variable expenses, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And actually, I have never had that explained in quite that way, getting joy from the variable expenses. That never occurred to me. But yeah, it is kind of, because it's fun. It's like, oh, what shoes do I get and what color?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Having fun. Okay. But you can't have fun, like you said, until you deal with what has to be paid for.
Correct. Right. And so if you find out that there isn't any money left over, well, then you've got to go back to the budget sheet and figure out, well, how can I change those fixed expenses? So maybe I don't need a car. Maybe I can take public transportation or Uber. Or maybe I can't afford that rent. Maybe I need to have a roommate, or make other arrangements. So if you can't increase your income, then you might have to look at being creative with those fixed expenses.
And there are, even in this economy, there are ways you can increase your income, whether it's sell things that you really aren't using. You'll get something to help you if you can find items that you just don't use anymore that are still in good shape that somebody else would want and would pay money for. Or there's still a lot of online work. You have to kind of work to make sure you're getting legitimate websites. But there are work from home options, like taking surveys or secret shopping. That's a big one. And some of the secret shopping actually will cover a little bit of your grocery bill. So if you're struggling to just buy groceries, if you can get into some of these places that do secret shopping, that could help you as well.
Sure. And there's also the gig economy, if that's something that, you know, is interesting that you could participate in to the extent that you've got the time right now.
Because that's what we're kind of talking about. This is the time for you to explore all of these options, especially if you're struggling.
The key, and this is, of course, you're going to hear this message from the key to me is financial literacy. So just getting through this period of time, waffling and getting through and making it to the other side, surviving, is not sufficient. Financial literacy, understanding how you are able to affect change and put yourself in a position to create financial well-being, that's super important. And that only comes with understanding. And it's not like reading a manual on how rocketry works or nuclear science or whatever. It is relatively simple. You just have to understand a few of the main principles, which I think are super important and are key differentiators for you in terms of putting yourself in a good position financially.
I agree. And we do need to take a break right now. But when we come back, I want to go into, okay, let's pretend I have all the financial knowledge in the world, but maybe I should be passing that on to my kids. So we'll be right back with Brian Ursu. He's the author of Now What? A Practical Guide to Figuring Out Your Financial Future.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show. If it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about increasing your financial knowledge right now, when most people have a bit more time on their hands because of the pandemic. Maybe you're out of work completely. Maybe you went from full-time to part-time. Or even if you're still working full-time, maybe you're at home. And so you've gained extra time because you're not commuting to and from work anymore. Joining me today is Brian Ursu. He is the author of Now What? A Practical Guide to Figuring Out Your Financial Future. In the last segment, we discussed a few ways that you can improve your own financial knowledge. And that is the key to getting through the recession that we're in right now. They're calling it the pandemic recession. And you said it isn't enough just to survive it, just to get through it, because this isn't the only recession we're ever going to have. I mean, we just had one that started 12 years ago and took about 2.5-3 years for us to get out of. And 7 years after we got out of it, now we're in another one. And so people need to start increasing their knowledge, learning things now to get ready for the next one.
Right. May I tell you a really quick story?
Yeah, please do.
So when we went through the Great Recession here recently, 10, 12 years ago, I was visiting with an elderly client. I mean, she's in well into her 80s. And lamenting kind of the feeling of lack of empowerment, and I had no control over things. And she told me a real quick story about during the Great Depression, the real depression, her father was out of work and used that time to build furniture. So the house that she was living in at that time was filled with the furniture that he built during the Depression. So he felt productive, and he was doing something and taking action and building. And I'm like, well, I can't build furniture. But it was that comment that she made to me that thought, well, I could write. And this book and my writing now and the blog and so forth has come as a result of her telling me that story. I'm not going to build furniture, but I can put words together and maybe help people that way. And so that's kind of the change that you can make if you approach it, I believe, correctly and try to be as productive as you possibly can.
I love that. There are so many ways you can be productive, whether it's if you haven't exercised at all for a while, maybe just start walking around the block and then build up to a mile eventually or something like that, or start a community garden or even your own personal garden so that you can grow your own food and vegetables and you're not having to pay the grocery store for it.
Yeah. And my daughter, amazing, she's 13, but in this isolation, she just started cranking out paintings, like exploring with paint. So we got canvases, we have paints, and she's created not a gallery, but she's created a kind of an inventory of artistic expression. Like when you can't do anything else, you can't do the things that you want to do, you can't go to school, what are you going to do? And so turn to something productive and creative.
I like that a lot. And another one, since you brought your daughter into it, is if even if it's the most basic of financial knowledge, like how to stick to a budget, now's the perfect time to teach your children the same skills. These are life skills. I remember when I was growing up, my parents didn't talk too much about money. I think they were worried they would scare me if they said, oh, you know, we're, you know, struggling on our rent today or, you know, whatever it was. I think that was their concern. They just wanted me to think that everything was fine. And then I get out in the real world. Did I understand that if I only make $500 a month and my rent is $600, not only will I not be able to pay the rent, but I won't have any money to pay groceries or gas for my car. So nobody taught me any life skills before I left the house.
And that's important. And doing the research for the book, there was a Harris Poll survey that I came across in 2017, and it said that 69% of millennials had anxiety about money. And you kind of have to wheel back a little bit. They were becoming financially aware during the Great Recession, right, that we had just 10 or 12 years ago. And they saw maybe their parents struggling or their parents losing a job or them having to walk away from a house or maybe a friend or a neighbor had to do that. And it's really, really scary. And so it's impactful growing up with that kind of fear of unknowing and fear of finances. And so no wonder so many of them, you know, over two-thirds have anxiety about money. And so to me, the key is financial literacy and understanding and making yourself empowered to take action. And that's the key to addressing those concerns and that anxiety.
Well, how do we teach our kids basic finances, the financial literacy, without creating anxiety in them?
Boy, you know, there's principles to live by that I have in the first couple chapters that I think are important. You know, just don't spend more than you make and you know, those types of ideas. And it's different with you want it to be age appropriate. So you're not going to reveal to your 8-year-old kind of the stresses of your finances. So it's got to be age appropriate. Maybe that's a shopping trip and no, we can't afford that. Or we're trying to save for the vacation when this is over or whatever. So you can live those lessons and teach them that way. When they get older and they're in high school, then obviously you can get more real with it to the extent that you're comfortable sharing your own personal finances. Finances are a very private thing and people generally don't like talking about it, and they generally don't want to talk to their children about it. And, you know, I felt like the shoemaker and the shoemaker's children didn't have shoes, right? So when my daughter graduated from college and got a great job as a software engineer, she's like, all right, now what do I do? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do any of those things. And I thought, if I got hit by a bus, everything I've learned over the last 30 years would go with me. And so that's what this book is about. It's a practical guide to figuring out your financial future. It's what they would need to know in order to put themselves in position where they're going to be financially not rich, but just well off or comfortable, right? That's the idea.
Right. It was a struggle for me several years ago when I was making less than $30,000 a year. But I wasn't living paycheck to paycheck because I did do the budget and I knew exactly how much I had. I was able to start putting a little bit of money away into savings and you know, 401k and IRAs. Now, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a ton. But it definitely helped me when I had, you know, my $1,000 emergency fund and I had a couple emergencies along the way. And even though I wasn't making a lot of money, it was enough that I didn't feel completely stressed out all the time thinking if anything happens to me, I won't have enough money to buy groceries.
Right. Didn't you find it once you start seeing progress, even if it's slow progress, isn't it motivating to continue? It's kind of like, you know, I've sadly, put on some coronavirus lockdown pounds. but when you start losing that, you lose the first couple pounds, you're like, okay, I can do this, and that's motivating to continue and to create a lifestyle where that's going to be a continuous process. And money is the same way. Once you start seeing, oh my gosh, I paid off that credit card. That felt awesome. And now I've got an emergency fund. I've got a little bit of breathing room. It's motivating that same way that you're empowered now to do more. And at least that's my view.
Oh, I believe it too. That is what happened to me. I started, just like you said, I paid off one of my credit cards. It was very, very low balance. And so I was able to get that paid off pretty quickly. And so I didn't have that bill showing up every month creating stress, but the money I had been using for that credit card, I put onto another bill that wasn't very high as well, but I used the money I had been using to pay off the credit card toward that loan and got that paid off in 4 months instead of 18 months.
Yeah. Didn't that feel great?
Oh, totally. And then those two were gone and I had all this extra money, but I had that extra money that I would have been paying out to those two bills that I was then able to start putting into for the emergency fund, for the $1,000 emergency fund. And then every month saw that dollar sign grow and grow and grow. And it just made you feel like, oh, okay, so if something does happen, hey, I've got a couple $100s. And then if, you know, a few months later, it's like, oh, I have $450. And a few months after that, you know, so it just
right.
kept building and made. And every time I saw the bank statement, I just felt much more relieved.
Yeah, well, good for you. And that's why you've got this awesome podcast now. I mean, you've lived it and you've seen how powerful that can be. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we need to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap everything up and see if there's any other life lessons maybe we need to learn. Joining me is Brian Ursu, the author of Now What? A Practical Guide to Figuring Out Your Financial Future. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. I am joined today with Brian Ursu. He's the author of Now What? A Practical Guide to Figuring Out Your Financial Future. And we've been discussing now is the most important time for everybody to start gaining more knowledge about their finances because we have more time right now. Most people are stuck at home or they can't commute or they've lost their job or only working part time. So you actually do have extra time on your hands. Most people do anyway. Brian, before we get to what are our biggest lessons maybe we should learn, it just infuriates me. I am just flummoxed as to 12 years ago, we went through this. We had the Great Recession. And people swore they would never go into debt again. And yet, up until 6 months ago, Americans had accumulated the greatest debt ever. It's like $3 trillion in debt. And why didn't we learn? This wasn't a generation ago. It was 12 years ago that this happened. Why are we right back where we started 12 years ago?
I think infuriated is a good word. Flummox certainly expresses it. To me, it all comes down to human behavior. And so we're ruled by two primary emotions, fear and greed. And so once we got out of that and we felt a little bit more comfortable, you felt like, oh, okay, I could get that jet ski or I could buy that whatever it is or I could finance that and put it on the credit card. And those lessons are soon forgotten until we have another recession, much like the one we're experiencing right now. And sadly, I think we don't learn those lessons, or not for very long. I mean, some people do, but most people don't.
Well, maybe it was so traumatic they just blocked it out. Maybe.
Well, to me, I like to think I only have to learn a lesson once. I make that mistake one time, I'll never make it again. And so you find yourself, like when I was starting out, we had credit card balance, and it became a problem where that was taking up a lot of the expenses. And so I don't know that we've had a credit card balance in over 15 years. now.
Yeah.
So I learned that lesson. I won't do it again, ever.
Me too. I'm the same way. I have no, aside from my mortgage, I have zero debt. I don't have a credit card. I don't have a car loan, student loans, nothing.
Good for you. That's awesome.
So for those of us, maybe we are struggling right now. It is a struggle. I don't want to pretend it isn't. Maybe I don't know where to start, Brian. My work has reduced my hours, so I'm not getting quite 40 hours anymore. It's almost paycheck to paycheck for me. I don't have the $1,000 emergency savings. Please help me. Where should I start to get myself through this pandemic recession?
I don't know that this is going to be helpful, but the first place to start is in your head, and you have to convince yourself that this, you'll get through this. And so you have to get your mind right before you can do anything. So if you come in defeated, like the world is against me, guess what? The world is always going to be against you and you're never going to get out of it. But if you can change your mindset to, okay, I can do this. And that's what I hope to, the message I would hope to communicate is you can do it. Regardless of your situation right now, you can get out of it and you can put yourself in a better position. So that's the first thing is setting up a mindset. And so if you don't have the hours that you need from your current job, well, maybe you have to look at what would I need to do in order to get those hours? Do I need additional skills? Can I get those skills? Do I need to look at maybe a different type of career and make some kind of a change? So, and then give yourself permission to reinvent yourself or to try something different and get to the point where you can get the hours or the income that you need. And then the other thing is, once this does end, and it will, as I mentioned before, it's going to require all hands on deck for the U.S. economy to get this locomotive moving again. And so there's so much demand that we're going to need to satisfy in order to get the economy moving. And so put yourself in a position to, when that demand hits, that you've got the skills that are going to be relevant to take advantage of that and to really propel yourself further than you would have thought otherwise.
So basically it's learning. I need to learn how to, like you said, get in my head, reinvent myself. If that means learning a brand new skill for when all the jobs come back, that may be what I have to do.
Yeah, a book that I read, I read it in one afternoon, and you can too, Who Moved My Cheese? And it's kind of a parable, but they, you know, anyways, you can read the book in an afternoon, and it's at the library and everything. But the whole point of the book is when you start to recognize changes and differences, continuing on your same patterns is not going to help solve anything. So once you notice that things have changed and they're changing, you need to wake yourself up, become alert, and go find out what you need to do in order to put yourself in position. And it's really a powerful book for me to think more proactively about my own situation.
That sounds good. Who Moved My Cheese? I like the title. But you have your own book. So where can people go to either find out more about the book, or you also have a blog? So where can people go to find those?
So I would start with the website for the book is www.brianursu.com. And on there, you'll find the budget worksheet. You'll find this podcast probably at some point, other podcasts, and you're going to get the first four chapters for free. I recommend that you download them and read them. If you like the style and the information, you'll like the rest of the book. If you don't, if it doesn't resonate with you, just keep it to yourself, because I have very thin skin and I will cry myself to sleep. And there will be portals to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you buy books to get it.
Really quickly, I do like that you brought up about resonating, because in my education on finances, I was watching a lot of the finance TV personality people, and so many of them, I didn't understand them, or I thought what they were saying was just up in the night. And then I finally found the person who, when they started talking, all the light bulbs went off and the bells and whistles. And it was like, so my advice is you may have to search through several people before you come to the one that, oh, I understand now what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And that's why I say, either you're going to like this style. It's designed to be empowering and engaging. And if it isn't for you, then, you can email me and I can give you recommendations for other books that may be helpful. Because I'm an avid reader. I read a book a week, and I have floor-to-ceiling bookcases in my house that are filled. So I have a great depth of resources, and I'm happy to find you the book that does resonate for you. So if this doesn't work, email me, and we'll find the right book. And I think the email is on the website.
Thank you so much, Brian Ursu. Again, the name of your book is Now What? A Practical Guide to Figuring Out Your Financial Future. And I look forward to getting more into your chapters. And thank you so much for being a part of my show.
All right. Thanks, Heather. I loved it.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.